Hello again and welcome. My name is James Bradley. I'm the pastor of First Free Will Baptist Church here in Morehead City, North Carolina. Such a pleasure having you. Today we're going to be talking about something that's going to help you get through the difficult times. Once again, thank you so much for joining us. Today I want to talk about a message that's close to my heart. Every pastor, every preacher preaches a certain way, but the way that I preach and the things that I teach about mean the most. I believe it translates over the things that have meant the most to me. I believe what means the most to me translates a lot easier on how it moves other people. So I'm going to tell you a story about from my past. When I was young, I would say about 8 or 9 years old, we did this activity. Some of our younger viewers, you'll know this. You probably won't even know what this is. We went to a roller skating rink, and that's where all the old people used to have fun back when we were kids and we had nothing else to do and our parents wanted to get us out of the house. And so one of the most interesting parts of my life, one of the most concrete parts of my life, the things that build me up from a young man to an adult happened at that roller skating rink. Right toward the end of closing time and everybody's getting ready to leave, they always do these things where they had races. You know, they had age categories and whatnot. And I was finally of the age where I was going to race with the big kids. Race with these speed demons of, you know, young adolescent men. They were just athletic and buildy. And I was just this little, you know, little tight going out there. His first time being able to race with the big kids. And so I had this moment where I got ready and I put my hand on the line and I put up and ready and I see my dad walk in from the back and I felt with pride and felt with so much enthusiasm of being there in this moment that I was going to show off to my dad how fast I had become in skating. I was so excited. The start buzzer goes and immediately this behemoth of a child next to me reaches out and pushes off of me so he can get a head start. And in contrast, I go flying backwards with wheels on my feet. I just slide onto the ground and lose all composure. I really am so angry and mad and irritated about what just transpired because I was going to really show what I had become, and it got thwarted by an individual who wanted to cheat. And not only was he just bigger than me, I just was not ready for all the emotions that I was about to have. So as I'm trying to get up, and by the time I get my bearings, you know, I'm lapped. All these racers have come by me, and they're beaming past me, and I am just defeated. And so I turn around, turn one and turn two, and I'm trying to get off of the court, off of the rink, and my dad, very fatherly, stops me, and he tells me, "We don't quit. Go back and finish the race." And so mad and frustrated and trying to push through my dad, and he continually told me no. I was told to get back on the rink, and so I get back on the rink. I complete round two, and I get through there, and the race is over. Everybody else has completed 4 laps, and the DJ, not wasting any time, allows everybody to get back on the rink, and I'm having to zip through couples and kids and all these things that are going on. And I am racing my heart out where everybody's just, you know, rolling in a circle. And I'm trying to get through these people. I finally get through it, and irritated and annoyed and embarrassed that my dad had made me do that. And I get off, and my dad looks me in the eye and tells me never to quit. I didn't know it then, but I didn't know how impactful that moment was going to be until later in my life when I got to Bible college, and I recognized that story being told, but not in the same context, not in my life, but in what Jesus was trying to teach the life of Paul and all of the people that came after him, that quitting never gets us anywhere, that getting through life is difficult, but we can do it, and God will help us to get there. There's going to be 2 texts I'm going to bring this idea of not quitting into perspective, and they were written by the same person. The first one is going to be in Galatians chapter 6, and the second one is going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul was an incredible man. We talked about how good he was. We talked about all of his pedigrees and the things that he's done for the New Testament and all of Christianity and all the churches. We talked about all that. But what I really love about Paul is that Paul was a teacher, same as Christ. If there was something that needed to be said, he would love to intricately weave the gospel into their situation and allow them to become better by learning from their mistakes, learning from the things that are going on. What we see in Paul's writings is that he takes these two scenarios, these two different texts. One of them is personal, Galatians chapter 6, and the other one's corporate, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And he tells them in both areas that not to quit. In Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read how a personal understanding of how we're not supposed to give up on our own personal walk. And in 2 Thessalonians, we have an idea of the church as a whole, as a people, as corporate, we're not supposed to give up, not on our mission. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate or live unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap of life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." In Galatians 6 here we see how an individual is supposed to push through and persevere, how good works are one of the things that he's going to, and he tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. Don't stop. Do the good. Do the work of God. Continue to press on and get out there. The second one, let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. We see both in the personal and in the corporate life, or the church life, let's say it like that from now on, both in personal and church life, we find that the world can bog down and really weigh on us and drag us down. This is why Paul tells them in both occasions, he says, do not grow weary in well-doing. One of the things that I find most interesting and most applicable to me in this text, especially in Galatians, we find that everybody has struggles. Nobody is above things. We find the commandment in that last part in verse 10. It says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." We see that the individual both has a mission on the outside of the church as well as on the inside. And that mission to do good, that mission to complete his mission, to help out and to produce the good that's in the world. And we see that everybody's hurting and everybody is in need. It's not that one person can fix all the world's needs. And I don't want us to put that kind of burden on ourselves, but it does tell us that an individual can be a help, an individual can do things. And I, for one, don't think that God is going to ask us to do something that is absolutely impossible. I do believe an individual can help himself and can pull himself up by the bootstraps, if that's what you want to say. But the bottom line is God tells us, don't grow weary. And we can take into all accounts of what that means. And it can mean to pace ourselves. It can mean to not let the world press on us. It can mean a world of different things. But I really and truthfully believe that what he's telling us here is don't allow the world to upset us, to push us back. And just because we don't see a promise doesn't mean that it's not going to be, that it's not going to happen. That there is going to be a result. The Bible teaches us that in Isaiah 55, verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it." You see, as a doer of good, as a follower of the gospel, as an individual who has took on the mantle, took on the cross of Christ, and living our lives the best way we can, we're doing exactly what it is that God's asked us to do. We are taking that mantle. We are taking the Word of God and planting it as many places as possible. And he says that if we'll just do it, it will prosper. And we'll talk more, we'll give more verses that support that later on this message. But I want you to understand this. The world is never going to give you a handout. The world is never going to give you a blessing. It's always going to broadside you, and it's always going to hit you out of nowhere. And it's going to really shake your foundations. I don't want to be that to somebody. I don't want to be the individual who hurts somebody. I don't want to be the individual who says something out of rage or says something out of spite, says something out of anger, and says something that not only gets my point across, but I don't want it to hurt somebody else as well. I don't want my words to be a double-edged sword. I want my words to be the words of God. And I want it to be something that is a blessing to other people. You see, what the Bible is teaching us here, it says don't be weary in well-doing, because there's one thing that's a common thread all throughout those texts, and that is being good is hard. It's difficult. And nobody ever will look upon your good graces and say, what an amazing man you are, or what a great woman you are, what a great mother you are. The thing is, we don't do it for those things. We don't do it for those comments and for those likes. We do what we do because we want to honor a God who gave everything to us, so we just want to follow and be obedient. You know, we don't look on the world as something that has going to return that kind of love. But giving that kind of love with nothing back can be quite wearisome. It can lay on us. And the Bible tells us, listen, don't fail. Don't fault yourself. Matter of fact, there in 2 Thessalonians, he says, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season we shall reap. We shall gain if we will just consistently do what it is that God asks us to do. Look back with me in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 6. Verse 10 tells us, he starts off with this very interesting words. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. What I love about this verse is that we see that God gives us these opportunities. And Paul makes the case for us to be vigilant, to look for these opportunities. He says, listen, you have an opportunity. There are we these opportunities. Look for them to be good unto all men, especially those of the church. You got to be looking and communicating and having your fingers in these things. And listen, the world is a big place, and somebody's bound to get unnoticed, and somebody's bound to be forgotten or left out. And I don't want to be that person, and I don't want somebody else to be that person. The idea here is, if there is somebody out there that you think needs a helping hand, that needs to be understood that, hey, they're there and they're a part of our community. They're a part of our family. They're a part of our church. They're a part of our neighborhood. They're a part of our work. And yet, they go unnoticed. Listen, he says, you have this opportunity. When you see this opportunity for good, take it. They don't come every day. The opportunity to be a blessing, the opportunity to pay for somebody's groceries or to pay for somebody's light bill. And it's not all about money. A chance to pray with somebody, share a laugh with somebody, celebrate with somebody. Those opportunities are few and far between. Take that moment to share with them the gospel and how good God has been to you and to what could be for them and the rest of the world. As it, coming to that understanding that you are the good, it may carry a weight of burden, and it may carry this obligation of something that you're not used to, but here's the thing. I love this verse, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but look with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 tells us, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. This was an interesting thing that happened back in the Old Testament. And what they would do is they cast their bread upon the water. And I've heard lots of commentators say that what they're talking about here is the grain. And you cast the grain down and it rolls downstream and it will plant itself somewhere along that little bit and it will grow itself. And the idea there is that somebody else will do the same and they'll cast that grain and that grain will come down and it will be a part of your life. You know, good things are never in short supply. Grace is never in short supply. Love is never in short supply. We don't have a cap, a limit. You can't say, oh, well, I just can't be loving anymore, or I just can't be grace-giving anymore. There's not a limit. Yes, the world is hard, and yes, things can get difficult, and yes, there's sometimes where we don't want to love, and we don't want to give grace, and we don't want to do these things, but it's not because we don't have the ability. we can. Sometimes we just want things to be differently. And God tells us if we don't grow weary, the blessings will come. If we will stick to it and we will constantly be the grace and be the love that the world needs, it will come back to us. It will have its immediate blessing. And it will pay dividends upon itself over and over and over again. So be the good that the world needs. Be the light in the midst of darkness. Be the blessing to your neighbor. Be the blessing unto your coworkers and students. Be the blessing unto your family. Because there's not these people, these moments, these opportunities that God gives you, whether it be in school or work, whether it be your neighbors or family, these moments don't come by very often. So capitalize on it and give good. The second half of this point, and one that to me, it just really and constantly keeps coming back to me, no matter how long. I guess it's because I'm in the corporate side of it. I'm in the church side. I see this. Look with me at verse 11. It says, "We hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." What the Bible teaches us, he says, there will be people that you closely associate yourself with. Remember, this is the church he's talking about. There will be people who are working for the gospel, working for the kingdom, working to build the church, and there will be people who don't. And he says they're even busybodies. These are people who like to put on the facade that they're working. They like to say that they're doing everything right, but they're really not. And not only that, but they're taking the blessings of that as well. Look at the next verse. Verse 12 says, "Now them that are of such command and exhort the Lord Jesus Christ with the quietness they work and eat their own bread." The idea there is that they would all work together and they would share and commune meals. And the people that were busybodies and not doing anything, that they would come and take part of the blessings of the work, but never doing anything to bring a profit, bring a positive tone. How we tied this into our message is one of the most interesting things, and something I found a lot in other people's lives is too, is because we're all the time looking at those busybodies, at the people who are lazy, who the people who don't really have the mission at heart. They're just there to be there. And it really drags people down, which is exactly what this text is talking about. He tells them, don't be weary in well-doing. Yes, you're going to have the people that you love and that are a part of your life, but they're not really doing anything about it. The Bible tells us not to look at them. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You be the one that does right. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works." You see, what the Bible teaches us here is when we have these people that are with us and we have these people who don't necessarily play by the rules that they said they would, they're not helping, they're not doing the good, they're not working, they're not being the light that they said that they would be. The Bible tells us then prove them wrong. You be the one that does right. You be the one that shows them what it means to be a Christian. What I love about these two texts being paired together, especially there in 2 Thessalonians, we see in the latter part, he says, don't let them be your enemy. Admonish them as a brother. We are called to provoke righteousness and to provoke good works and to provoke love and grace. And we have all these things, and there will be people who just, they take all of the blessings and do none of the work. And the Bible here tells us, listen, they're not to be blamed. The work of God is not hindered because of lazy people. Don't ever get to that mindset, oh, well, the church is going to fail, you know, if this is going to, or, you know, the Christianity is going to fail if the nation continues. It's never been about that. It's never been about other people. They do not damage the value of what Christianity brings. Yes, it's painful that we have people who twist our faith and to make it something it's not, but they're not the ones that are damaging it. What's damaging is when good people fail to do nothing. When we say, well, if they're not going to do it, then I'm not going to do it. It's that kind of attitude that ruins everything that we're pushing. What the Bible teaches us is regardless of what they're doing, let us do good. Let's provoke them to do good. Let's show them what it means to be a lover of grace and good works and love. Let us promote the good that is in the world and not worry about what everybody else is thinking. In case it wasn't obvious to this point, I really want to show this. It's not the thrust of the message, but it's so evident I feel like I have to point this out so that everybody else can gain. The first thing is that you see two types of Christians here. You see the people who are in it to win it. They're in it to do everything that they can. They want to give God of themselves, and they have laid their lives down to obey the commands of Christ. And they are doing good, and they're getting weary in doing that. And then we see why they're getting weary is because the people that they have locked arms with, that they have joined themselves with, are not pulling their weight. They're not doing the things that they said that they were going to do. And they're really becoming a burden to those who are pushing on and trying to do their best. Let's understand something here, is that they have their reward. The people who just want to squeak by the pearly gates, the people who just want to dodge hell at the most last minute, they have their reward. But there is something more that's mentioned here, and Christ even talks about it in his ministry. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, he says, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So not only do we make the world a better place when we push through, but even with all the pushback, even with all the people who are closest to us, who are not doing what it is they said. They said even the littlest thing that we do. He says, if you just give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, if you give it in the name of just being good or because it was the right thing to do, listen, God takes note of that. He says, and you will get your reward. It may not be immediate, but it will be promised. You see in this text, God says he will give that reward. Don't think that because doing a nice thing should be just done for reward. I think good things are good to be done, just period. Being kind and compassionate. Even something as small as holding the door open for somebody. God takes notice of things like that. Every word, the Bible tells us, every word we will be held accountable for the things that we say. For every tear that we cry, God documents it. God knows every hair upon our head. He knows every detail of our lives. And he says, and we will be held accountable. I would love to stand before God and to say that my life was meant for good. That it wasn't selfish. That it wasn't just about the things that I gained, but really and truthfully, I just wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to make somebody else's day by doing something. No matter what it was. I would like to have that conversation with God and letting him know that I did these things because he did so much for me, I wanted just to give a little bit back. We know that the Bible teaches that if we do good, God will reward us. Which leads me into this very interesting thing that I still have not fleshed out throughout my 10-year span of ministry. I still have not understood this. Why people don't live it out. They take on the moniker of Christian, but they don't live out the things that are taught in Scripture. And to this day, I still, if God promises that he will reward those that are good, why is it that people don't do the good? It may be selfish reason, you know, to do it for that. I believe that there's more of an obedience section to doing what it is that God has asked us to. And I still don't understand why people don't do this. Why did the Galatian church get weary in well-doing? Why did the Thessalonican church grow weary? Why is it that they were so bombarded with those that they loved about doing the good things? I can only think of one reason why that is true then. It's the same reason that I see is true now. And that is because people want the easy way out. People want to do just enough. And I never see where that has benefited anybody. Could you imagine just doing enough to bring home money or groceries? Just doing enough to survive. Could you imagine just kissing your kids just enough so that they would love you? Could you imagine doing just enough to get your car from point A to point B? Just enough just doesn't cut it. And to me, it's confusing why people take the easy way out and they do just enough in their Christian walk. What this teaches me is that, if anything, by provoking others and pushing ourselves to be the light in the midst of darkness, we gain so much more. The world gains so much more for one individual who pushes themselves to be the good. I would encourage you to do that. Literally and truthfully, in your heart of hearts, give it everything you got. Be the good in the world. Be a good to those that come to you. And I know that that's hard to apply on a daily life, and I know that everybody has some things to overcome. Some of us, we've even stuck in this place that we are weary of well-doing. But I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you right now. I want what's best for you. I want you to understand the Bible tells us not to grow weary. So whatever it is, whether you need to change your pace, do something different, do another, a different good work, whether it be praying with somebody or helping somebody, I want you to understand something, is that blessings will come to those who consistently do the work of the Lord, and I want you to do that as well. Don't be deceived by a world that takes the easy way out. You see, there's people all around us, people we love. They're not our enemies. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they take the easy way. They don't want to put others before themselves. It's all about selfishness, and it's all about the things about us. And it's not just in the church. It's in the world, too. We're taught this from all walks of life, that being selfish is the best way to go. I don't think that that's true. There are cultures in this world where people give of themselves freely. And you see the smiles on their faces, and you see the blessings that come, even immediate blessings of coming, of giving of themselves, of good works. Does that mean that the Christian should do it because other people are doing it? No. We should be doing it because God commanded us to do it. To be the good in the world, to strengthen the world, and to really give it its foundation of love and good works. When they type in love and good works into Google, it should pop up as the church. It should pop up as the people who take the cross of Calvary and literally live it out the best way that they can. But the sad truth is, it's not going to be that. No matter how hard we try, the world will always push back. But that doesn't mean we should stop. We should even strengthen our resolve at that point and continue to be the good that is in the world. Do your part. No matter what it takes, no matter what it is, if it's going to a retirement center and reading scripture or singing Christmas carols, or if it's singing in your church or taking up offering or being a welcomer at your church and just holding the door open, no matter if it's just being a prayer warrior and lifting up prayer for the people that are in your church and in your family, no matter what it is, be the good that is in the world. Thank you once again for joining us. It has been a pleasure doing these services over Facebook, and we hope they've been a blessing to you. Please like and share them so that other people can have a blessing in their lives as well, and hopefully they just need a little push to do the good works that God has put on their hearts as well. Got some good news for you. This will probably be our last digital service for a little while. We will be having in-person services again starting this coming Sunday on the 14th of February, and we will be having our services at 11 o'clock. We will be doing one service for the time being, and we ask that everybody wear a mask and keep their distance. So if you will, please join us then. We would be happy to have you and hope that it's a blessing to you, but please come down and see us. Thank you so much. We love you. Hope you have a great week. Bye-bye now.